So this week is Parshas Ha'azinu. In the Chumash, it's page 1100. I actually want to start from the end of the Parsha because the end of the Parsha has a little bit of narrative, and it's almost the last instructions that are given to Moshe. And in the packet which you have, we're going to look at the commentary on starting with the Pasuk, which is Pasuk, well, maybe not, maybe we'll do Mem afterwards. Starting with Pasuk Nun. Okay? So let's look at the last few psukim of the parsha with Maftir. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe, it's page 1110. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe be'etzem hayom hazeh le'mor. Hashem spoke to Moshe be'etzem hayom hazeh, the height of the day, and he told him the following: Alei har avarim hazeh har nevo. This is not the first time that Moshe was told to go to har avarim. He was told that in Parshas Pinchas as well. And at that point, he said, "Oh, I'm going to die. Then I need Hashem. You need to appoint somebody to take my place." And that person, of course, ended up being Yoshua, and the Torah is telling us here that Har HaAvarim is the same mountain as Har Nevo, which is an interesting discussion in and of itself as to what Har HaAvarim means and what Har Nevo. The Gemara says that there are four mountains which have the same name, and I don't remember the other two, but two of them are Avarim and Nevo. And where is this place? It's Hashem Be'eretz Moav Asher Pnei Yirecho. So it's giving us a geographical location where Moshe is. And you're going to see the land of Canaan that I'm giving to the Bnei Israel. Umus Bahara Sherata Oloshama Oloshama. You're going to die there. You'll be gathered to your nation. The same manner that Aaron, your brother, died on Hor HaHor. Now, what we learn from here is that Aaron and Moshe died in the same manner, which is what's called a misa b'neshika. There's enough evidence that Miriam died in that way also, but we don't want to talk about that. There's an element of tznius that Miriam died with a kiss. God can. It's possible she can't say that. Okay, so and what's the reason? There's a reason being given. Because you did me'ilah against me. This is actually kind of interesting that this is the word which is used, because certainly at the story of Me'meriva, that's when Moshe hit the rock, that is not the reason given to Moshe. There the Pasuk says, Yan lohem mantim bilahakisheni, you didn't have faith in me to sanctify me. And now Hashem brings in a new concept, which is Me'ilah, that Moshe and maybe Aaron as well, they misused God in some way, or they misused something that belonged to God. That's what Me'ilah is, like when you use something from the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan in a way which is not its designated use. And then he says, Allah shared lo kidash to Moshe b'soch b'nei Israel. So that is mentioned in Parshas Chukas, that you didn't sanctify me properly, b'soch b'nei Israel. Although even that's an interesting question, because there, after the whole episode, the Torah says, Vayikadesh bam, that God was sanctified with them. So it's a long story. I gave a 4-part series on this, on that question earlier in the year, during the summertime, but we're not going to rehash that. From opposite, in other words, from that spot on Har Nevo, you're going to see the land. And to there, Lo Savo, you're not going to come. El Arts, to the land, Asher Anino Sein Lo Bnei Yisrael. Okay, so the phraseology in Pasuk Nun of Umus Bahar is something which the Aruch Chaim jumps on, because, I don't know what would be a better way to explain it. Or how to say that you're going to die, or Sham Tamus, maybe something like that. So Moshe, the Or HaChaim says, take a look at the top of page 5. Perush Hatzir Tzelamus. He says you're going to want to die. Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lokeach Nafash Chasidav El Ritzonam. God doesn't take the souls of the righteous except with their agreement. Okay. In other words, he's saying, Moshe, you're going to come to the realization that this is what you want. And I can't answer if there's an element of truth. I don't know how many people have that kind of clarity and how much awareness people necessarily have. But there is a something to be said about having an awareness of death and saying, you know what, when God wants me, he's going to take me. And I think that is perhaps a thought related to what does it mean to become a chassid. I don't mean like a chassidish. I mean a pious person. I remember once hearing in the name of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, and unfortunately I was never able to confirm the story, but I heard that somebody said to him, Rav Aaron, if you had 24 hours to live, and you know you're going to die in 24, what would you do during that time? And he said, I would say goodbye to my family and spend the rest of the time learning. So what do you mean? Anybody else would say, I'm going to spend the time with my family. He says, no. If I say in life that my whole purpose is to get as close to Rabbeinu Shalom as possible, then that's what I want to do. That's my job. So ve'omro ve'asef elamecha al derech omram sheyotzim atzadikim lachbil p'nei tzadik zemar Hashem ilov sheyasef elamav ha'boyin l'kraso, that Moshe will be gathered to his nation, to those who are coming to greet him. What does it mean to those who are coming to greet him? So I would imagine it means that to the neshamas, to the souls of those who predeceased him. Od yisparal zeh derech. Kibala says Shloshatan Lamisas Ishelohim. So the Aruch Chaim is now telling us that three reasons for why Moshe is going to be dying. Vizesh Yirakasuv Umus. And this is what is implied from the word Umus. Vatam Bahar Perush al Derech Umramzal, Lamanik Barmosh Baharnavo, Bishvil Avon Paor. So where is Harnavo? You know where Harnavo is? It's on the eastern side of the Jordan River, in an area called the Plains of Moab. Hare Moab, rather, the mountains of Moab. Where is the mountains of Moab? It's near, it's overlooking a place where a terrible incident took place, Baal Peor. Baal Peor is the story with Pinchas, Baal Peor is the story with Cosby, and where there was a tremendous amount of idolatry taking place, and 24,000 people were told in the Torah died at that point in time. So he's saying that it's because of that, Bishvil Avon Peor, that's why Moshe needs to be there. Ki b'chol zman, she's kof rosho, Peor yimatzei kenegdo Moshe v'nichna. That any time Peor is going to stick out its head and say, oh, you know, look, the Bnei Yisrael, we can prosecute against them because of what took place over there. So what's going to be there? Moshe. And so Peor doesn't have anything to say because there's Moshe standing as a merit to the Bnei Yisrael. So in other words, one reason why Moshe is going to be buried there is as a merit to the souls of those who are going to be buried there. Yeah.
The way it's written here and the way you just read it, yeah, it seems to attribute some power to an idol.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's an interesting question. It attributes a power to an idol. I think that when we look at things in this kind of realm, the understanding is not so much that there's a power to an idol, but that whatever it represents stands as a prosecution. Okay, think about the golden calf. We don't assume a power to the golden calf. But the golden calf, especially now, I mean, it's Yom Kippur time, right? The whole reason why the Kohen Gadol can't go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim wearing gold, because the golden calf will prosecute. So it's not so much power as much as it's an idea which stands, you know, in direct contrast to what Bnei Yisrael are. So in other words, it's an idea which is prosecuting
just
against them.
A little bit in the face of the actual word.
Okay. So.
But I understand. What
right.
You're
I. don't. I don't think that it means that Peor. I don't think that the Aruch Chaim is assuming that Peor has power, as
but
much as he's saying.
He could hold its power in check, is the way that.
Okay. All right. So, I think it's the power of the prosecution that Peor represents against the Bnei Israel. Uchi Omro vayikboro so bagai mulbeis Peor. And that's why it says that Moshe was buried. It's what I'm going to say in next week's parsha in Vezos Bracha, which we read on Simchas Torah, that he was buried there, Bagai, in the valley, Mul Beis Peor, okay, opposite Beis Peor. So in other words, it's clearly indicated in Moshe's burial that he is opposite Peor. Tam Beis, second reason why Moshe is buried there, Asher Ata Oles Shama. You are going up there, Hashem says to Moshe. Perish Kadesh Yuchal Asig Ha'usher She'esig Be'emtzos Ma'asim Tov Ma'Noraim Ma'she'ein Yachol Asig Odom Shutaf Maguf She'ein Yachol Asig Ma'alahi. Okay, She'ata Ole Shama. You know what Ata Ole means? Yes, you're going up the mountain. But what does Ole mean? You know the phrase that we use when somebody moves to Israel? You know what they call it?
Aliyah.
What does Aliyah mean?
Going up.
Going up, right? Going up. So Asher Ata Ole means that Moshe, you're not just going up a mountain, but you are being elevated. You are being elevated, and the only way that you can achieve that osher means praise or happiness, or just, I mean, a glory, really. The way that Moshe can do that is if he is no longer mishutaf and maguf, he is no longer attached to his body. He can't achieve that highest, most level that Moshe could achieve with his body. The body holds him back. And that's why Asher Ata Ole Shama. Lo Mro Asher Ata Ole Shama Perish BaOlam Elyon, that you're going to be elevated in an upper world. So that's another reason why Moshe needs to die up on a mountain. Can you imagine if he goes into the land of Israel? So where would he be buried? I don't know. But the idea that he's going to be buried on this lofty mountain is something which is unique to Moshe's experience, specifically over here. I mean, think about it. Where are Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov buried? And Sarah, Rivka, you know, Leah, where are they buried? They're buried on a mountain. Lav Dafka, right? They're buried in Hebron, and whatever that means. So is every burial place in Israel going to be on a mountain? Lav Dafka, but in Moshe's case, he needed to be in this particular place because it's a very high mountain. I mean, and by the way, it's not such a crazy idea. If you go to Israel and you look to the east, from many, many, many places in the country, you can see the mountains of Moab. Why? Because they're pretty tall. So you can make an argument that that's a very good, that's if Moshe has to go have a physical aliyah in order to have a spiritual aliyah for his neshama, then that's another reason why Moshe needs to be there. Gimel, Ve'yasef al-mecha, al-derechom ramzal, the pasuk, Ve'yasef roshe am, Sheba'em tzaus, Moshe, Yizekudor abidbor. Okay, Ve'hem yisyachsi me'lov, that it's through the I don't want to use the medium, like medium, it doesn't mean medium, but through Moshe's merit, the generation of the Midbar will merit as well. Right? Because remember, Behemis Yachsim Elo Kilmro Raid Kishek Yasamcha. At the time of the golden calf, Hashem told Moshe, go down because your nation has become corrupt. Uhumro, Behasif El Mecha, right? Behasif El Mecha, you're going to be gathered to your nation, Perish Lisibasa Mecha, Lavyam Olamaba. That the whole reason why Moshe is going to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan is for the benefit, you know, for the benefit of the nation to bring him to the world to come. Okay, where people can feel that kind of connection. I read a midrash some time ago, not too long ago, that gave a mashal l'mahad davar dama. Like, what's this compared to? So it tells a story about this maid servant, just a maid servant, whatever. Well, this woman, I don't even know if she's a maidservant, but she goes to get water out of a well, and accidentally she drops her bucket. Okay, what's her bucket? It's a piece of garbage. It's not a fancy bucket. And she's sitting there, and she's crying, and she's wailing because she lost her bucket. She has no way to get it out. And then the maid of the king comes with a golden bucket. Okay, she's getting water out of the well, and she drops the bucket. Okay, and the maid of the king says, no big deal. You know why? Because what's going to happen? All the king's horses and all the king's men, they're going to come and get the golden bucket out. And so this the other person who dropped her cheap piece of garbage bucket was really excited. Why? Because she said, well, once they're down there getting out the golden bucket, guess what? They'll take out my bucket. And so the Midrash, where I saw this, was making a comparison, saying, what's Moshe? Moshe's a golden bucket. Because when Mashiach comes and it's time to take out everybody who's in the Midbar, so God, of course, is going to get Moshe, of course. But once Moshe's there, once he gets the golden bucket, then he'll take everybody else who's there. Maybe people are not deserving, right? They die because of Baal Peor, terrible sin. But once we're outside picking up Moshe Rabbeinu, may as well get everybody else.
You know,
so that's the merit.
About that. Everyone was buried in the Midbar.
Yeah.
That would come from its
rise. Yeah. So that's the idea. So that's merit.
Crazy.
That's the merit that Moshe brings to them. Okay,
no,
so continuing. No, the Pasuk Nun Aleph. What? They're
all covered with sand.
Yes, exactly. Well, they're gone by now. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Only DNA is left behind. Okay? Allah Shemri Altam. Once heard Rabbi Tandler say, you know, Tchias HaMesim. How could Tchias HaMesim happen? I mean, the organs, that within a year, they're all gone. And the bones, you know, I mean, bones last much longer, but even bones, you know, eventually. So he said, we figured it out, DNA. Your DNA lasts forever, so you can always reconstruct from DNA. Anyway, Allah share me altim, Allah share lokidashtim, ayin mashapirati, pashapirash, parshas chukas. I love when Mefarshim do this. He said, I talked about this, and the truth is that Or HaChaim was a huge source for the classes that I gave about Moshe Rabbeinu's sin. He says, I already talked about this, I'm not touching it again. Okay. And the same thing regarding Kimi Negatira Sa'aretz, he says, I discussed this in Parshas Vizos Bracha, so you can look over there. V'shamalo Savo El Aretz. So the last comment in the Parsha. Kasha, Achasha V'amar, V'shamalo Savo, Mamakom Lachzor V'lomar El Aretz. Right? Shama means to there, Lo Savo, you're not coming. So why does it then say V'shamalo Savo El Aretz? Obviously, V'shamalo Savo means you're not coming to there. Obviously, so the Aruch Haim is asking, why is this extra word there? And so the Devarim Rabba says that Moshe is going to come in the future. And so in the Zohar it says that Moshe is going to bring, that might be where the golden bucket parable is, by the way. I think that may be, now that I'm just triggering that memory. So what's the limitation? You're not going to go there, Ela Aretz, to the current land. But things change, right? Topography changes, promises change, there's a geula which is going to come, and at that point in time, you will be able to come. So in other words, this Shama Lo Savo means Ela Aretz Asher Nina Sein L'Bnei Yisrael, meaning now. You're not entering now, but you will have the opportunity and the chance to enter in the future. And he also references Vayin Mashperash Pasuk Ebrona in Parshas Veschanan, Moshe says, I'd like to cross over into the Jordan River. So there, Hashem, I would like to cross over the Jordan River to get into the land, even to be buried. And Hashem says to him, nothing's happening, so don't even ask. But the Or HaChaim has a comment there as well, which he references, but we're not going to go back to that now. Okay. I did want to show you two more things towards the end of the Parsha before we go back to the beginning. And they are Pasuk Lamed Vav and Pasuk Mem. Okay, so if you look at Pasuk Lamed Vav, okay, so we're not going to look at this inside, but I did want to call it to your attention. Pasuk Lamed Vav, in Shiras HaZinu, the Pasuk says the following. So it's the bottom of page 1106. Ki adin Hashem amo, when Hashem will have judged His people, the Al Vadav Yisnecham, and He shall relent regarding His servants. Ki Yirek Yazlas Yad Ve'efes Otsur Ve'azu. When He sees the enemy power progresses, and none is saved or assisted. So I just found what the Or HaChaim said here to be, prescient, in a sense, prophetic. Maybe it's not prophetic. Maybe it's obvious if you read through. But essentially what he says here is, I mean, he predicts the Holocaust, that's all I can say. He says that when the tzaddikim are killed, and when people just they're not really following the Torah anymore, and there's no way to save people from galus, and the tzaddikim, their suffering is going to just take upon themselves essentially the suffering of the people, and the way that he describes it, he says with all of this people will, it's going to come to a point where people are going to be saying, Eloheimo, where's God? And even though their deeds are not worthy of anything, eventually God's going to say, you know what? Enough punishment. Enough. I don't want to use the word punishment in reference to the Shoah. I'm not going to say that. But enough devastation. It's time to turn things around. And that is the imagery which is invoked here, in light of the not so distant recent history. This is a very chilling fulfillment of a promise. And of course, Or HaChaim lived several hundred years ago, so for him to talk about something which we can actually look at and say, "Oh my goodness, it happened," is hundreds of years after he wrote this, is pretty chilling. Okay, Pasuk Mem, Ki asa el shamayim yadi v'amarti chai anochi li'olam. So, what does the pasuk say? For I shall raise my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever. And he goes on and says, if I sharp my flashing sword, my hand grasps judgment, yada, 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 yada. So take a look at this. He says, Ki asoel shamayim. He says, Perush lashon shvua. The idea of when I raise my hand to heaven and say, what does it mean to raise your hand? What happens when they go into court today? So put your hand on the Bible and raise your hand, right? Raise your hand and swear. So he says, that's what the idea of raising something towards the heavens is the language of ishvua. I swear, shenish b'amnis yusyadav l'shanein charbol and kum tzarav, right, to sharpen the sword and to take vengeance against the enemies. V'omrom shanosi v'rak v'omrom v'tayaches mishpat perish yiskof midas adin, that the midas adin is going to reign over here. O yirtzeh shetaskim gam midas harachamim v'tizchazek mishpat l'ashiv nakom l'tzarei Hashem. He says, oh, maybe what he's saying is that the attribute of mercy will also be strengthened here in judgment, to turn back the vengeance against those who are making things difficult to God. And who are those people? Sheim oyvei Yisrael. Sheinam sovim osanu ela al dvukuseinu b'Hashem. Yeah, I mean, I read that line, I said, wow, that is just in a nutshell what anti-Semitism is. Right? What's anti-Semitism? Oh, no, I don't hate Jews. I just hate everything that they stand for and that they live for, right? Because they believe in their God. They don't believe in our God. They don't, right? I have nothing against Jews. I'll just go into their synagogue and try to shoot them up on Yom Kippur. But I have nothing against them personally. Right? Those are the people who are trying to get Israel to go against their religion. So, you know, what's the Aruch Chaim telling us here? A major chiddush? No, but I just found that line. Him oive Yisrael she'enam sov mosanu. I don't hate Jews. I just don't like the way that they cling to their God and their and everything that stands for, which basically means you hate Jews. So just call a spade a spade, right? That's what the Sonei Yisrael are, and so I mean I hate to say it, but the swords need to be sharpened, unfortunately. And it's a reminder, especially what happened yesterday, and these kinds of things are happening, unfortunately, too much, that the Jewish people have to remember. I mean, thank God we have an Israel, thank God we have an army, but the army can't be everywhere at the same time, and we need to be able to defend ourselves. And it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to actually do it, and that's an ever-present reminder. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the beginning of the Parsha with that nice introduction. 20 minutes, okay? 20-minute introduction. We're going to go back to the beginning of the Parsha, okay? The opening Pasuk, and actually the Aruch Chaim says a lot on this opening Pasuk, so we're going to spend time doing that. But I want to make the question very clear, okay? The question that he asks, and he's not the only commentary to do this, but he does spend a lot of time on it. Of course, since we're doing his Perush, we'll go through it. So the opening Pasuk says, Hazinu Hashemayim Adabera Bishishma Haaretz Im Refi. So I'm not going to get into the breakdown of the poetry and how this is, how many psukim constitute a meter and whatever it may be. There are plenty of contemporary commentaries on the Chumash that do this kind of stuff. Parshas Hazinu. I want to look at this opening pasuk. Hazinu Hashemayim. What does Hazinu mean? Hazinu is from the word ozen. What's an ozen? An ear. So Hazinu Hashemayim means let the heavens give their ear. Okay, v'adabera, and I will speak. V'sishma ha'aretz imrefi. What's v'sishma? What does shma mean? No, shma. Look at the word. Shma. To listen, right? So v'sishma ha'aretz imrefi. So the land is going to listen. Well, what's the difference between giving ear and listening? It sounds like it's the same thing, right? I mean, should be. So there is a little different. There is a little bit of a difference, but you should know this is not the first time that we... Well, maybe it is the first time. Maybe it's not the first time. But we actually heard something similar recently on Shabbos Chazon. What's Shabbos Chazon? So the Haftorah is in Devarim. You can look at it if you want. It's page 1195, Haftorah for Devarim. So we read this as Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, and the opening Pasuk introduces Yeshayahu, when he lived, etc. And then the next Pasuk Beis, Shimu Shemayim V'Hazini Eretz Ki Hashem Diber, right? What is Shimu Shemayim? Let the heavens listen. Veha'azini Eretz, and let the land give ear. So it's the reverse. That's the opposite of what we just read in Parshas Ha'azinu. So the question is, why does Yeshayahu attach the ozen to the land, while Moshe attaches the ozen to the Shemayim, and they switch around the Shemiyah, the hearing? Moshe attaches Shemiyah to the land, while Yeshayahu said, Shimu Shemayim. Okay, the heaven should hear. Okay, so let's take a look at the Aruch Chaim. We're in the page 1. Yesh le'rishona lama marva adabera. Right, why does Moshe say, and I will speak? I mean, duh, right? if you're giving a call to say, listen up, what does that mean? You're about to say something, right? Why didn't he say, heavens, give ear to my words, and I will speak? I mean, that's obvious. Why doesn't he just use one verb, right? Hazinu, give ear to both the heavens and the earth, or shimu, right? Listen, both heavens and the earth. Gimel, third question. So why does he? So that's basically the question which I showed you through Yeshayahu. Right? Why does he use this one for the heavens and this one for the earth? Revi'is, fourth question. Hazinu. Why is he essentially commanding the heavens. Hazinu, hey, listen up, buddy. Okay, l'nachol la'aretz ma'avetishma, and the land should hear it. What does it mean the land should hear it? Is that a command to the land? No, it's just, you know, it'll happen. Shahil Omar, he should have said v'shimi ya'aretz, right? If you're going to command the heavens, command the earth too. Why are you being nicer to the earth than you are to the heavens? Or however you want to define it. Hey, fifth question. Why is he using the language of dibur, va'adabera? Right, when you use the word daber is presumed to be a language which is a little more harsh, and aleph mem resh is a language which is a little softer. So why that distinction? And vav lama dikdek lamar imre fi v'lo amar umri or imri. I want to say the sayings of my mouth, and not just whatever I'm going to be saying. Umri means whatever I'm going to say. Right, it's all the same thing. It's just a question of subtlety in text. So the Or HaChaim asks these six questions. For each of the Rabbi Seinu, and I saw our rabbis wrote in the Sifrei, which is the Midrash on Dvarim, Shamru Moshe Shaya Karov L'Shamayim Amar Azinu Shamayim. The reason why Moshe says that the heavens should give ear is because Moshe was closer to the heavens. Right, where's Moshe? Moshe's on the top of the mountain. Moshe's about to die. Moshe has a special relationship with Hashem. Moshe was closer to the heavens, and therefore it's Hazinu. So giving ear is to the one that you're closest to. Yeshayahu, what about Yeshayahu? Where was he? Hayarachok Meneshemayim. So he was much further away. So when he talks to the heavens, he says, Shimu. Listen, we're on page one, second paragraph, second line. Okay, L'Ibrahim, Nisyashvu, Ktsasmi Adiktukim, Lokulam. So, I mean, that's a simple enough solution that answers a little bit of our questions, but it doesn't really answer, you know, that's a Sifrei, but it doesn't really answer all our questions. So there's more to say, but first we really need to understand this word hazinu. Okay, and that word hazinu symbolizes two different ways of communication. One is the turning of the ear, and the one is the actual listening of the ear. So the first one, where you have to turn your ear, means that you're further away, and you have to actually turn your ear. Right? I mean, you ever have this? Somebody's way over there, and you can't hear them. So what do you do? Right? You try to. That's a toyes ozen, okay? As opposed to the other way we're about to see. L'derech ha'asheni yagid shekol kach ozen hashomea krova l'mashmiya shelzeh amar ha'azein. Okay, so the other way of looking at it is that the ear is, because the listener is so close, right? What is it, Romans and countrymen? What's the line? Lend me your ears. What's the line?
Something like that.
Okay.
Something about countrymen.
Right. Lend me your ears. So that's when you're much closer. Lend me your ears. V'derech zeh bachru chazal. And so that's the approach which the rabbis gave in trying to explain that when Moshe uses the ozen imagery, the ear, it's because he's closer to the Shemayim. That's why he says Hazinu Hashemayim. He's closer to the heavens. V'chevan shamigla sovel as gamkein derech rishon v'ein echrean anonelech bo v'zeh yishashvu kol diktukim anachon. So he says, but the fact of the matter is that the word ozen really includes both methods, and so therefore, however we want to look at it, we can explain it. So there's justification for answering, I guess, the question between certainly the difference between Moshe and Yeshayahu on the one hand, but also just in terms of what does it mean for the Shemayim to turn its ear. Okay, so we can make an argument, yes, Moshe is closer to the Shemayim, but you can also say that the Shemayim needs to turn its ear, because, yes, he's closer, but still very distant. Okay, so both ways you can look at it. So there's another way to look at it. There are 70 ways of understanding the Torah. So when we talk about the 70 ways of understanding the Torah, so those are mostly in the realm of agada. Okay, as long as the different ways of understanding they don't come in conflict with the halacha. And so we also need to navigate these two ways, as I'm about to explain. Lefish HaShemayim. So this is what it is. Listen up, okay? Give your ear. Lefish HaShemayim, Heim Elyonim, Kepshat Inyan Lazeh. What's the Shemayim? They're way up above. So Kara Lehem Moshe, Sheyatu Aznam. Right? Even though that explanation of the Sifrei is suggesting that Moshe is much closer to the Shemayim, but nevertheless, Moshe is saying, oh, Shemayim, way up there. Turn your ear. You have to turn your ear in order to hear what I have to say. So that's why Moshe says, "V'tishma," that we'll hear it because the ground is right here. The fact, where's Moshe standing in the end of the day? Where's he standing? His feet are on the ground. Okay, so, you know, even if he's on the top of a mountain, he's still on the ground. Okay, the top of the mountain is still Aretz, and even if you say that the Aretz is down below, okay, but Moshe's still, his feet are on the ground. And so therefore, anything he's going to say is going to be heard by the ground. Again, whatever that means, we're not talking about, I mean, it's not like the earth has an ear and the heaven has an ear, but it's a metaphor that they're going to be bearing witness. And why would they have to bear witness to what Moshe is going to be saying? Because they last forever. Okay? You know, if you go back to your grandparents' wedding, look at their ksuba. Okay? There are witnesses on there. Where are those witnesses? They're probably gone, I'm assuming. I mean, it's a fair, especially if you're maybe not your grandparents, okay, but some of us, the grandparents with the wedding, right? You know, not all witnesses last forever, but the heavens and the earth will last forever, and that's why they can serve as witnesses for what Moshe is going to be saying. I read that already. Okay. Next paragraph. Because one of them is closer and one of them is more distant, so Moshe spoke to them using language which works better for the circumstance of, in the case of the Shemayim, the heavens, and in the case of the Aretz, the land, so, and that's the way he addressed them. The Rechok Kara Shita Asno, V'hitna Alatzmo, the Kara V'kol Gadol, V'omro Ba'adabera. So Moshe says, I have to call out, right? Adabera, I mean, it's not the same as Kara, but I have to speak in a way which I know that I need to project in a way that you have to strain yourself and I need to strain myself. Okay, Velach Karov, but to the one which is closer, Kefia Ro'ilo, Iru Shagami, Love, Adaber, Elishaina Tzarech Lekriya, Kimi Atzma Yishma. So again, what the Aruch Haim is really doing is he's disagreeing with the Sifrei. Right. Note that the Sifrei's example was saying why Yishayahu did because Moshe was closer to the Shemayim, and so therefore he speaks to the Shemayim that way, and he's not as close to the Aretz, whereas Yishayahu was living in the Aretz and he wasn't as close to the Shemayim. But the Aruch Haim is saying no, that's not what it is. The Shemayim is way, way, way over there. Why Moshe has to speak is because of the way that he felt that it needed to hear it and it needed to be addressed. So Moshe says, "Azino Hashemayim v'adabera," you're going to be turning your ear, whatever that means. So I need to speak in a way which is more befitting for how you need to hear. V'lakarov kafi aroylo, but what's closer, he's going to speak. In other words, "Hey, Rishagami lovi daber." Right? He doesn't need to make an extra effort. For the Aretz is going to hear it. They're just going to get whatever comes out of his mouth. He doesn't need to project. He's really close to the ground. So now we have a problem because the Aruch Haim did not agree with the Sifrei. So what does he have to do? He's got to answer for why Yishayahu uses the opposite language with reference to the Shemayim and the Aretz. Okay? Says, yeah, it's true, of course, the heavens were really far away from Yishayahu. But he gives them a Shemia, as opposed to Hazina, right? And the land is much closer to Yishayahu, of course, obviously. So if you use the precedent of Moshe and say that they're actually really in the same kind of circumstance, because the fact is that they're on the ground and the heavens are way away, so Yishayahu should actually be using the same language according to the Aruch Haim. So he says, so why does Yishayahu use a different language for both those things? Right, you have to see the way Yishayahu speaks. Right? Shimush Shamayim Vazini Eretz. Why? Ki Hashem Diber. So in other words, what he is saying is, what Aruch Chaim is saying is that Yeshayahu is pinning what he's saying directly on God. Shamar b'seder zelahem ki Hashem diber uberach hamadaber shu HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoter heim krovim ha-shamayim. Okay, Yeshayahu is saying, I am God's mouthpiece. Is Moshe saying, I am God's mouthpiece here? Moshe says, hazinu ha-shamayim adaber v'sishma ha-aretz. What's the next words? Imrefi. Who's saying this? Is this God's words or is this Moshe's words? Now, it could be that, you know, that Moshe is saying what God told him to say, but God is not being credited with these words, whereas, at least certainly not directly, whereas in Yeshayahu's case, what is Yeshayahu saying? Shimu Shemayim Hazini Eretz Ki Hashem Diber. So what Yeshayahu is saying is coming from Hashem. So if what Yeshayahu is saying is coming from Hashem, so what does that mean? Who's closer to the words of God? The Shemayim or the Aretz? Okay, however you want to understand where God is. Right? Who's closer? The Shemayim. So Shemu Shemayim. The Shemayim is just going to hear it because it's coming from God. Who needs to turn its ear? The Eretz. And that's, I think, a nice, good, very consistent and very text-based answer for the inconsistency that he's seeing here, and that's how he can disagree with the Sifrei, in fact, or at least in terms of, you know, who's closer and who's further away. But it's really who's closer and further away from the source of the words. So Yeshayahu, yes, Yeshayahu is saying it, but where does it come from? It's coming from Hashem. Excuse me, as the pasuk says, this is from Hallel, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, that the heavens are God's abode, Chsiv Hashemayim Kisi, Ve'aretz Adom Raglai, and Hashem's chair is in the heavens, in the heaven abode, and where's the land? That's where his feet are, but his chair, that's where he is. Zamar Shimu Shemayim. The heavens don't need to turn their ear because it's coming from God. They're going to hear it. It's right there.
So the
earth will need to turn its ear, kaviyachol, in the way that Moshe is having the heavens do, and that explains the difference. So he says, and maybe the word ha'azinu actually supports the different ways that we've been looking at this, because the mouth of Moshe, mechatech osios tia kavana kedvarenu. So what does it mean? It means that where Moshe's mouth is directing the language, that follows uve'erech nishmaso shiaruchnius tia kavana kedvarei rabosenu. So he says, so why is Moshe closer to the heavens? Because where's Moshe at this point in time? Right, what's he being told? We saw at the end of the parsha. What's Moshe being told? Alei Elahar. Right? Moshe, he's mamish as high as he can get on this earth, and he's only going up and up and up and up. So Moshe really is closer to the heavens. And so if he really is closer to the heavens, so he may be speaking in that way, owing to the idea in a way not contradict what the Sifrei is saying, but it's supporting what the Sifrei is saying, that yeah, there is a way to look at it that says that Moshe, it's the other way of understanding Ha'azinu, is not a turning of the ear, but it's because you're really close. And so, uve'erech nishmaso, she'eruch niyus tiyakav anok edivrei rabbeinu. So, in the physical realm, Moshe is on the ground, and the Shemayim is really far away. But in the ruchnius realm, Moshe is as close to the Shemayim as he can be, and that fits in with what the Sifrei was talking about. So, in the end, is the Aruch Chaim being contradictory to himself? I don't think so. I think that he's just showing us that that distinction between the Ruchnius and the Guf is something, between the spirit and the body, is something which is very clear. And if you look at the top of the next page, page 2, you'll see, because it's still in the same comment on this pasuk, od niskaven shedibrim shnei hakavos shemehem banu yadam omer chelak echad achelak aruchani ve'echad achelak agufani. Right, and he just highlights and emphasizes the point. And I put those words in bold so you can see where the Aruch Chaim is demonstrating the distinction between when it's referring to the ruchnius, to the spirit, then it's Shemayim. When it's referring to the physical, then it is Aretz, and that is and that's the difference. And so, therefore, for Ruchnius, it's Hazinu. For Guf, it's Tishma Aretz. Okay, and that's how we in the end both follow the shita of the Or HaChaim and the shita of the Sifrei. The Or HaChaim, basically his commentary and his explanation is regarding Moshe's guf and with respect to and he views the viewpoint of the Sifrei with respect to the Ruchnias, and with respect to and the answer in his case for Yeshayahu's speech is that Yeshayahu's speech isn't coming from Yeshayahu; it's coming from God, and therefore the who's hearing it in the way that the Ha'azana versus the Shemiyah comes out fits in very nicely in no matter how you look at it. Okay, good. All right, we'll do one more pasuk. We'll bring us to the end. What do I did? Yeah. Okay, we'll do one more pasuk. Okay, and then we'll bring us to this conclusion. Okay, so now Hazinu, I didn't say this at the outset, but Hazinu, of course, is a song. It's one of the few things in the Torah which is presented, and the Arutz Chumash actually does this nicely. Not all Chumashim do this, but they show you how it's presented in the Torah itself. That you have basically two columns. Each pasuk is divided into, it's written in a way where there's spaces in between, and it's a poem. And we were told in the previous parsha, right, Kisvu lachem asa shira hazos, that you have to write down this shira, and there's a machlokas as to what this shira is referring to. Is it referring to the words of the Torah altogether? Is it referring to the words of Parshas Vayelech, or is it referring to the Shira that's about to be written here? Halachically speaking, we say it's referring to the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, but in Hazinu, there is this song, and it's a fascinating study. I mean, you look here, you don't often see this amount of Rashi on a short number of Pesukim like this, and the reason is because the imagery is very deep and it's very profound. And it goes through a cycle of history that where Moshe is on the one hand talking about the past, but he's also talking about the future, and he's telling people about things which they did wrong and things which they did right, and where things are going to be going on account of based like everything else is in the Book of Devarim, which is based on their behavior and the choices which they're going to be making. So here in Pasuk Gimel, he says, "Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havugoda Lelohenu." When I call out the name Hashem, I want you to ascribe greatness to our God. So let's see what this means. Okay, so we're on page 2, in the middle of the page. Kishem Hashem Ekra. Kavana ki adavar asher ilav yichavein b'mamarav. Hu shem Hashem al derech omram. Zal, so he says what he wants to be referring to is the name of Hashem, because Kol Torah Kula Shmos Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The Zohar says that the entire Torah is God's name. What does that mean? Alehu Omar Yarov Kamatar Lachish Yatorah Shishmo Yisbarach Uferish Ufiresh Ekra Miloshon Yakar. So he says it's not Kishem Hashem Ekra that I'm going to call out God's name. You know what the word Yakar means? Yakar means precious. Yakar means valuable. So Kishem Hashem Ekra doesn't mean I'm going to call out in God's name. It means that the name of God is valuable, is precious. And so, which is a fascinating idea, of course. And so what does he say? Habu Godel Eloheinu, once, if we're talking about the name of God, and it's great, and it is tremendously wonderful, then we want to, then that is going to bring greatness to our God. Okay, so the Or HaChaim says, first of all, we need to understand that the word Ekra means Yakar. Okay, and then he references one of the pasuk which came beforehand, Ya'arov kamatar l'chi, my teachings drop like rain, kizal katal mersi, utterance flow like dew. By the way, why rain and why dew? So rain is a different conversation, but dew is also something which lasts forever. Okay, look what Rashi says. Tizal katal shakol smechim bo. Everybody nobody has a problem with dew. Okay, rain, sometimes it could be too much. Sometimes it could be too little. Sometimes it could be not enough. Sometimes it could be it's not there at all. Sometimes it can cause flooding. Nobody has a problem with dew. So tizal katal imrasi yarov kamator would be the good type of rain, but tal is good because everybody likes tal, everybody likes dew. So let's take the next paragraph. Oder Meshagam Shetal Lahem Eisa Katora B'talu Matar Lo Siyak Hakavana B'Limud Al Zeh L'Kros B'Sefer Torah Hashem. So the idea of delving in Torah is sometimes tied to the idea of dew and rain. As a matter of fact, the Morantina sometimes suggests that the occurrence of rain is dependent upon people's connection to Torah. So what's the idea here? Alekros b'sefer Torah Hashem v'umro ki perish yihyeh tam shem Hashem ekra perish lekros b'Torah. So that the reason for calling out in God's name shem Hashem ekra, and that assumes a different type of action than what was mentioned in his first interpretation, is that we need to call out. I mean, how do you call it in God's name? You read the Torah, Shushmo, because that's God's name. Yisbarach Kadesh Yiten Godel Eloheinu. That if you study the Torah, you're basically calling God's name, because the whole Torah, as we saw before from the Zohar, is God's name. And so, reading the Torah, therefore, is ascribing greatness to God, because you're basically saying this is I'm calling out in God's name when I'm reading the Torah. Zotikra Torah l'shma negadel fa'er shen kvodo. So the more you read the Torah, the more you're saying God's name. And so therefore, God is exalted and God is made great. Yomro ekra humashi yaseh kol echad mehem. So ekra, yes, we translate ekra to be from the word yakar, but it could also be a reference to how everybody's going to treat the name of God. How's everybody supposed to treat the name of God? Everyone has to be involved in Torah. Oh, there Chumram, or another teaching from the Zohar, Shenaf Nafshos Kolos Ketorah Heim Nitzutzei Moshe, that the souls of all of those who are involved in Torah, what are they lit up by? Nitzutzei Moshe. What are Nitzotzos? Those are sparks. So if there's a spark of Moshe in everybody, below the Midbar Levad, El Atzov Kol Doros Kolos B'Torah Koruchu Moshe, that it's not just the people who learn Torah from Moshe the man directly, not just the people from the Midbar, but everybody who studies the Torah has a spark of Moshe in him. So he says, Kishem Hashem Ekra. What's Moshe saying? That the name of God, Ekra, right? What?
Precious.
Is precious, but it's also, I'm calling it out. What do we call this Torah? We call Torah Moshe, right? The five books of Moses, very, very good, okay, paying attention. Five books of Moses. So that means that when we're studying it, what are we doing? We have a little bit of Moshe in us, because how else could we understand what this is all about? Because Moshe taught it to the Bnei Israel. And so it becomes precious and it becomes valuable because it's always connected to Moshe. And that's such an important aspect of what the Torah is. Right? What other person can we call Rabbeinu in the same way that we refer to Moshe, Rabbeinu? Right? All Torah that we have is because of Moshe. So that's why he remains every single one of our Rebbe. And that's why, Kishem Hashem Ekra, then when we call out God's name, reading the Torah, Ekra, it's precious, it's valuable, because it has, you know, I mean, can you imagine, can you imagine if you could pinpoint in every single person, like the piece of, you know, DNA, bloodline, whatever, that makes everybody related. Right? If they could find the gene, right, one gene, that's what I was looking for. One gene that makes the whole world related. So, oh, you see that gene? That means that everybody came from the same person. What would you call that gene? At least, or the discovery of it. Pretty valuable stuff. It shows how we're all brothers and sisters in one way or another. So what are we saying? That I'm sure you've heard this also, that they're those who have argued that there's a Kohen gene, an identified Kohen gene, who's a Kohen, that all Kohanim carry this. I don't know if that's true, I don't know if it's proven, but we have the Moshe gene. That's the point. Okay, we'll do one more paragraph, and then we'll call it a day. Od yirtze omro, ki shem Hashem nisinas tam l'ha ne'emar achakach, shu havu godel l'lehenu. So when you say, ki shem Hashem ekra, that gives a reason for what is this godel l'lehenu, this greatness of God. Hu al derech masha amruzal, pasuk, yoshev tilos Yisrael, shalo yeshev Hashem al kisei atilos, ad sha'amru tzva hashemayim, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So this idea that God does not sit on his throne of praises until the heavenly host says, blessed is God, the God, blessed is Hashem, the God of Israel. But God did not like being called the God of the heavens, the God of the land, the God of the angels. He didn't care for that. What gave him nachas ruach? What gave him comfort? What gave him, you know, peace of mind, so to speak, and whatever that means with reference to God, being referred to as Elokei, you know, Elokei Yisrael. You see what he says? Go back to the middle line. Lo yashav Hashem al kisei atilos. God was not on his lofty throne, the throne of place, ad sham utzvashemayim, until the heavenly host said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Blessed is Hashem, the God of Israel. And he was never really comfortable. Can you imagine? You know, there's a president. You know who the third president of the United States was? Thomas Jefferson. You know what's on his epitaph? That he wrote the Constitution, that he founded the University of Virginia, and some other thing. But you know what's not on there? That he was the president of the United States. He didn't care. He didn't care. Okay, there are three things. I don't remember what the third one is, but it's not that he was a president of the United States. What?
Common sense.
No, not common sense. That's Thomas Paine. He wrote the Declaration of Independence. He wrote the founding father of the University of Virginia. And there was something else. You can look it up. But can you imagine? He wasn't comfortable being known as the president of the United States. When he died, he didn't want that on his grave. So God, Kav Yachol, Abdul, billions of Abdullahs, God says, Elokei Shemayim V'aretz, I made the heavens, okay, whatever. You know, Elokei Malachim, the God of the angels, whatever. Elokei Yisrael, that's me. That's what it says, Barmar Havu Godel. Right? Can you imagine Moshe standing in B'nai Israel? You, B'nai Israel, are Godel Eloheinu. Havu Godel Malo Davarzeh, She'enu Chafetz Zikara Ela Eloheinu. What is Havu Godel Eloheinu? He is, who's God? Our God. U'omro L'lei Eloheinu, Ki B'em Tzu'us She'korim B'Torah, She'hu She'em Hashem. Why is, how is he our God? When we are reading the Torah, which is the name of God. U'omro Ki She'em Hashem Ekra. When I'm calling out the name of God, or the name of God is precious, when the angels up above are praising, and they're saying, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, they're saying, blessed is Hashem, the God of Israel. Shevach zeh, yesh bo gedula v'shevach. He says, this is the shevach that God wants. Masha ein king, she'en Yisrael is kum Torah, when the B'nai Israel are not studying the Torah, and therefore they're not fulfilling Shem Hashem Ekra, that Hashem's name is precious. Okay, so that praise of Baruch Hashem Elokei Israel, it becomes, how am I blessed? I'm the God of Israel. What is it? What is Israel doing for me? They're not even reading my name anymore. So, because basically they're contradicting whatever it is that they're supposed to be doing. Shema Hashem Ekra, when the Bnei Israel are not involved in Torah. It's through the Torah that God attributes His godliness over us. Rabbi Senu Zal Darshu Arbe Drashos. He says that there are a lot of drushes on this, but this is something which we need to hammer home, which is Shem Hashem Ekra. We have an opportunity to call out God's name or to make God's name precious. Why? Because that's what gives greatness to our God. What makes Him God is because He is Elokei Yisrael and not Elokei anything else. Nothing else matters as much as this matters. Okay, Shkoyach for coming, everybody. Hope you got that a little bit out of tonight.